The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Rugby, Ron Nogara, good morning to you. How are you?
Great. Yourself?
Good, yeah. We're doing our depth chart as we do every year around this time, ahead of the Six Nations and the Nines and Tens. There's been a debate opened up by Andy Dunn about what the role of the Irish Nine should be, and the compare and contrast the Le Petit Général and the French outlook, where the Nine seems to take on a lot more responsibility. I'm obviously paraphrasing and simplifying that a little bit.
No, I listened to a bit of it. First of all, I listen to him all the time. He's a brilliant analyst, and he gets you thinking, Andy does. And there's so much in that interview, all right, that merits discussion. And a lot of it will probably be probably touched on this morning. But so many of his points, as usual, are very, very, very accurate, I find. I think he's a brilliant analyst, one of the best out there, if not the best.
So let's talk then about the Nine and the role of the Nine in Irish life. We obviously love our tens. It's the tradition of who we are, stretching way back beyond, the Tony Ward, Ollie Campbell, and even back before that, there were tens. And so, is it just that the tens?
Yeah, the number nines were big in Ireland too. If you go back a little bit before that, one of my heroes was Michael Bradley from Cork Constitution. I think obviously the Welsh number nines are very famous. It was probably maybe because they were so good in the 80s in Wales that maybe Ireland couldn't follow them in that regard. So that's when maybe the number 10, yeah, as you said, with Ali Campbell, Tony Ward, Ralph Keyes, I suppose, the 10 was the bigger jersey. There's no doubt about that, or the more illustrious jersey, perhaps. But getting back to the number 9, I think we're at a time where the best player in the world is a number 9, Antoine Dupont. And at times, he looks like he's playing a different game to everyone else. For those probably not that familiar with him, I think just a quick little search of him. Just this guy, World Player of the Year, wrapped up most definitely for this year. And if he continues the way he's going, very, very, very few people will touch him.
What is it that makes him so special?
I think he does his basics really well, Ger, but also then just, I suppose, spending a bit of time in France, you understand the way Toulouse play, and it's probably very opposite to how Ireland play in terms of there's such a focus on the rock with Toulouse. It's all about keeping the ball alive and jouer debout and trying to, the ball is very precious and it should be kept alive, and we've got to play sexy rugby in that regard. What I think separates him is the fact that I think he could nearly play any position in the back line and do it really well. But at number 9, there's absolutely no threat to the defensive team, it seems like. And there's three people on him, and all of a sudden he's pierced and he's gone. And you're like, oh, he'll definitely get caught. Then he comes off either foot, he pirouettes, and he has the capacity, the agility and the strength to grow through, the power and the vision to either put a pass to a guy that you haven't seen or the opposition most definitely haven't seen, and they score a try.
This is an important cultural point here, where he is obviously has been a very talented player coming up and has been encouraged the whole way, and 9 is the position that they put him in. If he was Irish, would we have decided, okay, you're going to be a 10 because you need to run the game?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But it's only when you kind of stand back and do a little bit of analysis among the quality and the depth of number nines, I suppose, playing in France, like, you're absolutely spoiled for choice. There's probably 10, I think, French nines that would be in all the Six Nations squads. And that takes a little bit of time to register, but that's a big comment there, I would think.
Again, is that just because they're encouraged? You encourage your best players to go in there?
No, because they're very good too. But I think I don't know, because I'm trying to figure it out. It's an interesting study, as you say, because a lot of the things that Andy was talking about too, in terms of they're in a better position, obviously, to create tempo. And once they understand what tempo and speeding the game up and speeding and slowing it down looks like, you have a massive advantage if that's your 9. The 10 is on the receiving end of a lot of the good that the 9 does. So in that regard, you know, the petit general, an awful lot of them are just so good with either foot in terms of kicking the ball, but that's a different discussion. But in terms of speeding up the game and their, I suppose, peripheral vision and their vision in general, it's exciting to watch and to probably study them from afar.
And so when that conversation came to Conor Murray, like, I suspect the idea of the rugby that we've played in Ireland has been very structured. That we, you know, we pride ourselves on our set pieces being excellent and forcing pressure and playing the game in certain areas of the field. And so tempo is less important in that environment. Or is that fair?
I don't think it's less important, no. I would think that's probably where the nitty-gritty comes into it and the little detail. You can be sure under Joe Schmidt, the structure and knowing your role was hugely, hugely important. And look what they did. And I'll never forget being in the ground in the Aviva in 2018 when they dismantled New Zealand. Not so much on the scoreboard, but in terms of the basics of the game, yes, and in every other aspect. And then they pulled away in the end, obviously. But it was such a comprehensive performance in all aspects. But I think there would be an error in saying that, you know, Joe wanted his nines to feed people around them religiously. I don't think that would be accurate. I think most definitely if there's space for the nine to run, he would have that role. I would be pretty confident in assuming that, but maybe I could be wrong. But I think when you've played such a way for a certain length of time and potentially you're not on top of the reasons why we are doing this and you don't ask questions, if that's Conor's case, then maybe your understanding of the role you're looking to play, you may not see the best of yourself.
Okay, and is that, have we not seen the best of Conor?
No, I think we have, but I think when Conor was a young fella coming, breaking into Munster in Ireland, I think he was an extremely, and he still is, he had such athletic prowess. I think where Conor will, I think he's had a good chance to review his game, and I thought his game against Connacht for Munster was very good because he was accurate in everything he does. But he does, I think, probably stick to the game plan at all times. I think the two people who can potentially change a game in the flow of a game are your 9 and 10. It's very, very difficult for other people to do that. And I think that's what great players do. I think they have the capacity to see the picture in front of them and either take option A, B and C as opposed to this is what we've practiced all week, but if it's not working and they give you a different picture in for that 80 minutes, you have to have that capacity to adapt.
I would suspect anybody who went away from the game plan in those meetings with Joe Schmidt was getting told to stick to the game plan. So he was kind of the perfect scrum half for that era, right?
Yeah, but like I think your coach wants you to get your boys in the front foot, and there are definitely, I suppose, difference of opinions in how the game can be played. And if he broke away from the game plan, he wasn't doing what Joe wanted of him, then I don't think he would have been picked. But he was continuously picked, and he was one of the key men for Ireland, and he still is. So in that regard, I think where Conor, I suppose, at the minute is probably remembered for his box kicking, but he needs to change that. And I think he will change that. And that's what a lot of good competitors do, that they kind of obviously put the team first, and Conor has done that, but he can't put the team first at the detriment of his own performance.
We're going to get into the depth chart in just a moment, Ronan, but one last question on that. Do you think if you had grown up in the south of France rather than in Cork, you would have become a scrum half?
Yeah, probably now with a bit of hindsight, I think, yeah. It's over here, it's kind of, they all go to number 9, but I think Entomac would probably change that again. He's a phenomenal, I suppose, talent, and at such a young age, he's delivering already on the international stage. So he'll make, the halfbacks are becoming very, what they have and they haven't had in 20 years is stability in the 9 and 10 position. And you look at the confidence that has given their front five, their back row and their outer backs. It's a game changer for France.
The fact that they're two sensational talents as well, like it's not just stability, it's genius in those two positions as well. Let's talk about our own nines and tens. So here's the depth chart
age on their side.
Exactly, that's the other thing as well. Like it must be an unbelievably exciting time to be a French rugby fan. Let's take a look at the depth chart then. So we've got you've got Conor Murray as number one, Luke McGrath is two, Kieran Marmion is three, Caelan Blade is four, and our next gen, our bolter, is Craig Casey. There's no Cooney.
No, I didn't put it in the fact that he's, I think for me, Conor Murray and Cooney, it's a shootout between those two. I think, Cooney is 31 in May, Conor's 32 in April. You can't have the two of them in the same squad. I just don't think it works. I think Cooney excels for Ulster because he's a petit general. He does everything for them and he goal kicks. But it's a different set of criteria or measurements when you're looking at Heineken Cup rugby, if you're looking at the test rugby. When you're playing on the Irish test team, there's a number 10 in Johnny Sexton who kicks the points, who kicks the goals. So that also probably dilutes, Cooney's effectiveness by 50%. So that was my logic in terms of that. I think when you're making up your squad in terms of start or finisher, because with the energy consumed in running the nine in the modern game and the amount of meters and high speed meters you're looking them to cover, it's very rare that they last the 80. And I think also it's a massive advantage to teams if you have a guy with a skill set that can really, really add something in the last 15 minutes. So for me, my logic was looking at kind of Murray and Cooney as one, and then one or the other. You know, if Murray was injured, I wouldn't necessarily go straight to Luke McGrath, if you understand me.
You'd be happy to stick Cooney in as the kind of direct replacement as the starter, but not the finisher, and so he's not in the matchday squad.
Well, it depends too who your 10 is, because I think you really have to look at combinations in that regard too, because it's so important. You know, if Johnny Sexton is your number 10, I wouldn't probably go with Cooney either. I don't think that works. For me, Cooney is, you know, he's a points accumulator and he does an awful lot of things really well at Heineken Cup level. When you come up to test level, it's completely different. And I think you need to work in combinations. And I think Luke McGrath a lot, and I'd like to see him get an opportunity, because I think he probably, didn't give it everything with Ireland, but I'd say he was very respectful in the fact that Conor was number one and he was probably happy to go on the bench. But I don't think that would be his mindset now if he was to get another crack at it. I think he's taken on board the message as well from the Irish management, and he looks very, very polished for Leinster for me.
Okay, let's move on to 10. It's still Sexton as first choice. You've got Joey Carby down a second. We all can't wait to see Joey Carby back.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. That's the sheet is doesn't tell anything during the fact that, right, so how I came about in my decision-making for this was by, in Ulster, you have Madigan, 32, in a few months, and you have Billy Burns, who's 26, okay? In Munster, there was a peculiar situation where you have JJ Hanrahan, you have Joey Carberry, who's injured, who's the key to everything. Then you have two very promising young tens in Jack Crowley and Ben Healy. In Connacht, I looked at Jack Carty and I looked at Conor Fitzgerald, who's a young guy who's going well, and I think who had the jersey for a week or two till Carty bucked up his ideas. And then in Leinster, it's particularly interesting because you kind of have three out halves in the two Byrne brothers, and you've obviously Johnny. Then you have a young guy who I've seen once or twice, a guy called Charlie Tector, I think from Kilkenny College, who looks a really neat player. And then for me, the outlier is Frawley, in the fact that can he play like Aaron Major did, with the kind of Carter-Major combination of your first and second receiver, which probably teams have tried a lot in the past with, Sexton or Carberry on the same team, or Sexton, Rob Kearney. But Frawley looks a very natural ball player. But then I suppose you're taken away from the fact that you know, you have such competition in the centre in terms of Bundiaki and Ringrose and Henshaw. So, but it all depends really how you want to play the game. So that's, I think it's an area of huge strength with the capacity that could change, because you mean the short term is Johnny, the medium term, long term, I don't know. The big difference is that it's you mean rugby's an 80 minute game. It's not like NFL where your quarterback comes in for a few seconds to pull off a play and then there's a pause. The people, I think, understand how difficult it is at the very top to play really competitively into your late 30s. It potentially can be done, but I think it's not like other sports where you're in constant movement in the game and it has so many challenges for the body.
Yeah, so it's going to be difficult for Sexton to maintain this level for much longer. In the papers, it looks like he's negotiating an extension, so it's obviously in his head to keep going as long as he possibly can.
Well, and there isn't a debate about it. That's the reality. He's the best number 10 at the minute, but as you say, sport, as I know, it changes very quickly as well. So it's up to other people to try and contest them for that position.
How good is Harry Byrne?
It's a potential, isn't it? But like, potential doesn't do anything for you. The massive plus for him is that he's got brilliant, I suppose, mentor in Felipe Contepomi. That mindset coupled with, I suppose, the constant, I suppose, demanding of a Stuart Lancaster. So the guy is really set up to succeed in his environment. It was disappointing when I think for everyone in Irish rugby when he got injured in the warm up. I don't recall which game it was, just before kickoff, and that would have. But we can't comment accurately because we haven't seen enough. And what you need, in this position, Jerry, is minutes in the saddle. That's what happens for old halves. The more you play, the better you get. And it's obviously kind of, you know, years 28 to 32 is when you peak as an old half. So I know he's extremely highly rated, and he actually becomes, you know, probably hugely important to Ireland's World Cup challenge.
That notion of having two tens playing in the same team and finding a way to do it, it was the big existential question that Irish rugby had to answer when Joey Carberry came on the scene. And it looked like they were doing everything they could to get him in. But it now appears as if we're going to have a number of tens who are of fairly similar standards. So how do you find the time in a schedule when you're the head coach who now has to win games because of the way things have worked out, to experiment? It's very difficult.
Well, that's it. That's the magic question. You've nailed it. That's the question. Wow, because, you know what I mean, you need short-term results. Otherwise, you lose your job. And that's, you know what I mean? So it's all great having this dreamy plan and outlook about how you want it to go. But, like, the reality is that so do the Munster coaches, so do the Leinster coaches, the Connacht coaches. They need to pick what's best for now. The project of what's best for Ireland come World Cup time doesn't interest them, and that's the reality of sport. And there is a responsibility, obviously, to try and get these guys game time, and that's what the Pro 14 is meant to do. But putting them in a Pro 14 game and trying to put them out in Twickenham, it's like playing a complete different sport. It's of no relevance, so it doesn't work. So that's the conundrum facing Irish rugby at the minute.
There's obviously going to be a number of questions about who is beyond the next-gen pick at out half. And as Ger alluded to there, the stack of players that Ireland has in that position is striking. You obviously have done a bit of work on Jack Crowley. You revealed last week that there was an effort tried to make a sign him. How high is this guy's ceiling from your point of view?
But sure, we don't know his limit. And he doesn't know his limit either. And Irish rugby doesn't know his limit. But I think you look at video footage, you talk to a lot of people, and you talk to the person involved, and that, I think, interestingly, gives you an appetite to kind of go or cool off or go again. And with the engagement I have, I was desperate to get him. So, I was kind of all excited about the call on the Sunday night, thinking, yeah, there's absolutely no chance this guy's going to turn me down. And then bang. So it's absolute.
Like a teenager again.
Oh, what a defeat. It was crushing. So, yeah, I wanted him big time. And I was kind of thinking, yeah, it'd be really good for his development and it'd be really good for him in the now. But no, I didn't. My calling card wasn't strong enough, obviously. So that's back in my box.
That's unbelievably exciting for Munster and Ireland fans, Ronan, to hear that.
But sure. Oh, one, that's only my opinion, you know, I suppose.
Sure.
And I'd like to think I have an eye for what's required in that position, but the most important thing, I think, is what's upstairs, you know, mentally, what has he? And, you know, I mean, obviously, so much of this has to remain private, but this guy, I think, this guy has an awful lot of capacity, I think, physically, but more importantly, mentally, to succeed in a position where it'll be a roller coaster of emotions.
Right, so that's I can see how Munster fans will get excited about that. Look, we're nearly completely out of time. What's going to happen when Munster face off against Leinster at the weekend?
Well, hopefully it's going to be a full-on game. We haven't had a full-on game for many number of years, and I think. What is exciting is that you can see that the guys who are performing will get rewarded with a green jersey, because an awful lot of those jerseys are probably up for grabs, and that hasn't been the case for a long, long time. And it leads to an exciting time for them playing, obviously, for in a Six Nations where it's never been so open with, I suppose, such turmoil in the world.
Munster slight favourites?
Ah, no, I don't. How can you say that? No. Like, Leinster are a champion team. Munster haven't been near their level in a long number of years. They've kicked on to a different, stratosphere dimension in the last number of years, and they've been consistently better. I think what has changed in Munster would be, I think... their build-up from the outside looking in looks like they're setting themselves up to succeed this time. Other times you felt like they were setting themselves up to withhold the Leinster storming. So, should make for a great game.
Good stuff, Ronan. That was great. Thanks a million.
Great. Cheers, guys. Good to chat. Thanks.
You too. It's Ronan O'Gara giving us some very interesting insights into the roles of the 9 and 10. And I'd say making Munster fans very excited about that Crowley chat as well. So if you want to get in touch this morning, 087-9180-180. Rob had asked there about what's the story with Jemison Gibson Park. He didn't make the list there at all. So I suspect it might have been something similar to the Conor Murray chat about maybe it was the age group. But we'll ask him again about that at some point in the future. So we'd ask you guys for your depth charts. And it was... Murray, Cooney, Marmion, Blade, Next Gen Casey, that's Joshua. Stephen Cleary says Murray, Gibson Park, McGrath, Marmion. So not a whole heap for McGrath here. Patrick Foran says Murray, Cooney, Gibson Park, Casey. Didn't even get to chat about Casey, but Casey is a bit more of a petit general. Tyke Fanning says Casey is the future and present. Should be given a chance at number 9 right now. Need to give these young guys a go. That's the tension that we talked about there, though, that... if you're the head coach, you're 9 and 10, are two kids who play brilliantly and you lose with a last minute penalty and you lose again and you lose again, but you play great, then the IRFU get a bit worried because they're not making money and they sack you. In terms of the number 10 position, everybody's saying Sexton. So Sexton, Carberry, Burns, Byrne, that's Billy Burns and Ross Byrne. Can we rename those so that they all have different slightly different names? Sexton, Carty, Madigan, Healy for 10, says Patrick Foran. And then are there any other ones here for 10? Sexton, Carty, Ross Byrne and Billy Burns, says Tommy O'Connor on Instagram as well. There's loads more of those coming in as well. You can check them out on our Instagram page. What do you think of that, Owen?
I think that it's cause for excitement as a result of a lot of what he said there. And we're at that sweet spot now where enough of water has gone under the bridge after Ireland's last defeat in Test rugby for us to start getting excited again.
Yep.
And for this sense of naivety, what are we, just over 2 years? We're almost at the middle, almost at the midpoint of the World Cup cycle. So it is about that time again for us to check our clocks and say, yep, we're going to do it. We're going to win a quarterfinal.
It's the men in black thing that all sports fans have. No, what are you talking about? We got the best team in the world.
TV Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.